Morning. It's really good to see those who know me well, and some of you I haven't met before. I feel like the worship teams in all churches have a sense of ownership of the stage. I always feel like whenever I walk into this, I want to kick things out the way. But it's fine. I'll be fine. I'll just get over myself. This is my wife, Sheila, for those who don't know you, her. So here we are. We've come to say goodbye to this dear family in the church. And, you know, it's a really, in a moment like this, is a very painful celebration, I suppose, is the way to describe it, because there's the pain of the tearing out of a family who have been rooted here, I mean, for almost three decades. And everything you've talked about, Tony, describes this. You know, if you're imagining this as a plant, you know, these roots. For those, if you think about walking through a forest and you've got all the trees, and I mean, the roots literally grow into each other and around each other, and sometimes literally into each other, different trees. And now this group of trees, this family, is being pulled out, and there's like a tearing away. Really, it's like that because of the depth of relationship, the depth of walking together. It's an incredible, it's a painful process, and there's no question about that. That is a reality. It's painful, and but yet there's a promise of them going into a new season, and there's a celebration for them, an expectation of God doing an incredible work in their lives and advancing the kingdom in another part of the country. And in the kingdom, there is a celebration in a moment like this. And in our hearts as well, there is a celebration for them. And so that's today what really is what we are here about. And it's not unexpected. You know, right the way through Scripture, there are moments like this. And if you've been part of church life for any length of time or in the kingdom of God for any length of time, these are an expression of the apostolic nature of God. It's like integral to the character of God is this concept of sending people. The apostolic is about the sendingness of God. Like he sent Jesus and he sent the apostles and he sends us as believers into our worlds. It doesn't always mean a relocation, but there is something in the character of God about saying there is always an expansion in the kingdom. There is more to be gained. There is more territory to be taken. And so he sends people. And this is, so it's not a surprise to us, to be honest, that this sort of thing should happen again and again and again. So.
When we heard the news that God was sending you guys, I got a picture of a beautiful tree, a massive tree in a stunning forest. If you think of an indigenous forest, it's got many different types of trees, all different leaf structures and shapes and shades, etc. And I saw this removal of a huge, big, massive tree like an oak being relocated somewhere else, which is what Richard actually was alluding to now. But the beautiful thing is that when a tree is removed from a forest, it opens up the canopy, and there are loads of seed and little baby trees all around, and now seedlings, sorry. That's the botanist, I'm the artist. and as soon as there's a canopy of light, what do? They start to grow. They put their roots down and they start growing. And I just feel like this is such a beautiful opportunity for you, Crossways Church. This is a story of hope. It's a story of beauty. As much as Richard said, it's so sad. It's beautiful because God is doing something in you. He really is. This is fertile ground. You guys are the most incredible community. And there's just such beautiful, fertile soil here with seedlings and seed in the soil. And as that light comes through and God's spirit rains down, the water of life comes, there's going to be an abundance. I just want to prophesy that over you. There's going to be an abundance of growth and just an enlargement of you guys, an enlarging of your territory. So it's actually a very exciting, sad time. I just wanted to share a word with the shuttles. So I'll just record it here. I just kept on getting the word blueprint, 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 blueprint. The Lord is giving you a blueprint. And I feel like the blueprint has been in your heart for years, Tony. And I feel like he's going to show you, just as he's been showing you how to trust him, I feel like the house and the job are almost minor into what he's going to be asking you to trust him for in the future. And it's beautiful. Those have been baby steps. And I see this blueprint has been written on your heart in so many ways, and suddenly it's going to come in bits. That doesn't really make sense. But you're going to suddenly have like a one part. It's going to be, oh my goodness. And I just see you poring over this piece of paper with a pen in your hand, so excited as God starts to give you blueprints. And I feel like he's going to give you godly kingdom blueprints and ideas that when you take it to other people, they'll be, haven't heard of that one before. Not so sure. And I feel like he's going to give you some ideas that are going to be a bit like Noah's Ark. When God gave him that blueprint, it was pretty outlandish and outrageous. But you are a prophetic man. And I feel like you are going to see into the future where your current leadership and boards and whoever you work with can't actually see, but you can. God has given you the ability to see beyond the horizon. And he's going to give you a blueprint for beyond the horizon, which in hindsight is going to be bring incredible fruitfulness. And Alani, you're going to be like his armor bearer, like a shield bearer. You're going to be there right with him, even though you might not stand with him every day in the workplace. But the two of you, he's sending the two of you together. And I feel like this blueprint is going to be something that is going to get replicated in years to come. That it's a divine blueprint, and it's going to bring such restitution to the education system. That's the phrase I get. Just, we love you guys. It has been such a privilege to walk with you. I'm so glad you jumped out of that aeroplane. Just think of that picture. And we just look forward to seeing what the God does in you and through you guys.
So just practically in my experience, having been through several moments of these, either on both sides of this equation, having been the family that's left and the family that has sent, having led in the church and sent people, close friends out. And, there's a practical reality that it's much easier to be the one leaving, the family, the people leaving, than the people left behind. There's no doubt. They're going on to exciting pastures. Life's going to be full. They're building community. They're going into new community. They will be required to invest heavily there. And, in some ways, when you are the people moving, it's exciting and there's momentum and you go. And then there's the left behind series, all of us, and life carries on. And it's sometimes, it seems harder because we have more time to miss the people going. And the reality is even in terms of friendships, some of the nature of friendships are even close friendships can be quite seasonal. And when geography separates you, there's a natural attrition. There is a natural dying away of the amount of contact and time. And don't be alarmed by that, I think, is really what I'm saying. It's like there's a normalcy to a moving on in some friendships, not all of them. And so don't be surprised if you don't hear a lot from them, because they are investing heavily in their future. But when Doug asked me to preach today, I felt I should speak about something about the confidence we have in the Lord. And when I think of the shuttles going off into their new land and the territory they're going to take, if one thinks of the in the kingdom of the advancement of the kingdom and taking of land, it's going to take for them a confidence in themselves and an authority that they're going to have to pick up. But not just for them. I mean, here we are today. There are many followers of Christ in the room. I don't know everybody where you stand in your faith, but we are a people who are all called to have a confidence in the God, knowing what does it mean to be a Christian? What authority do I have to enact the things of this kingdom and to proclaim the things of this kingdom into the world that you're living in? And all of us want to go and make a difference there. And there might also be people here today who are not settled in their hearts where they stand with Jesus. You might be here as a visitor or have been invited to be part of today because of relationship. And the truth of it is that you don't know in your heart, you haven't accepted that Jesus is who he claims to be. And a bit later on, I will give you an opportunity to respond to that. I always like to warn people about an opportunity to respond so you can process in your hearts that maybe today is the day that God calls you into his kingdom and that there would be opportunity for you to respond so you can prepare yourself. The context of what I want to talk about was, what I'm going to talk about was, is in John chapter, the Gospel of John chapter 7 and 8, is a time when the Jewish festival of the booths, or the festival of lights, it was called Sukkot, I think is the Jewish name. And they said it was one of the really big festivals of the Jewish calendar, and the people would gather in Jerusalem, those who could make it into Jerusalem, and they would live in basically temporary shelters, booths, and there would be these daily celebrations over the full course of a week, where the priests would go and gather water from the pool of Siloam. They'd carry it back, and they'd be singing and dancing through the streets, and then they would pour it out before the altar. And it was a celebration or a remembrance of the faithfulness of God's provision in the desert, when the tribes of Israel were walking through the desert, and they ran out of water, and Moses had to first speak to the rock and then strike a rock, and water gushed out of the rock and provided for the nation. And they remembered this, and they would sing this refrain from Isaiah 12, which was, "With joy we will draw water from the wells of salvation." Speaking, looking ahead to this picture of God's provision of salvation, and it was this picture language of water. And then in that time, Jesus stands up in the temple, and he makes a proclamation. He says, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, rivers of living water will flow from within him." And he's speaking about the work of the Holy Spirit in the believers. Whoever believes in me, Jesus the rock, out of you will flow these rivers of living water. And then a bit later, in the evenings, in the temple ceremonies, they would light huge lamps, which apparently could glow across the city, and it was to remember the presence of God as he showed the Israelites walking through the desert, first in a pillar of smoke and then a pillar of light at night, and he was their very presence, and they would celebrate, they remember that God was with them. And in that context, at the same time, Jesus stood up during the day and he said, I am the light of this world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And these are truly striking claims. I mean, these were in the context of what was being celebrated in the temple at that time. Jesus is claiming to be God. He's saying, I am the rock, and I am that light. Come to me. And so you can imagine the scene. I mean, here the Pharisees are, these Jewish religious leaders, already frustrated with Jesus, not sure who he is, angry with the support he's getting from the crowds, questioning, challenging him, always trying to prove him wrong. And so they challenge him. I mean, you can almost imagine them when he's standing up making a statement like this, public statements like this, these like those poisonous cane toads, like swelling up, you know, indignation and anger, like, how dare he say that? You know, who is this guy to say that? Who could say that? And so they challenge him, and they say, here you are appearing on your own witness. So they publicly challenge him. Your testimony is not valid. In other words, basically saying, who do you think you are? Like, by what right can you say these things? So it was deeply, deeply offensive moment to this. And in one way, their claim is not, their questioning, their accusation is not invalid, because imagine for any one of us, if you were to stand there and to claim anything of the power of God in yourself, you could be asked, like, who are you to ask to who are you to, who do you think you are that you can claim to represent God, that you could claim to heal the sick, that you could claim to speak on behalf of God? Because your humanity, your sinfulness, your just the very fact of who you are disqualifies you from making such a bold claim. So Jesus answers this, way, which is really the heart of what I'm saying. Oops, one back. Thanks. He said, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and I know where I'm going." What a strange answer. He didn't say, look at the miracles or look at this or look at that. He just said, I know where I came from and I know where I'm going. He's talking about this this picture of he knew he had come from God. Like, he just knew his source. He knew he had been sent by the Father. And he knew he was going to the cross and through the grave and back to the Father. Like, he just was confident in his calling and his destiny. And on that basis, he was able to speak with such authority. So the question I'm going to ask is, like, for us, how do we live this out? What is our testimony of where we come from and where do we go? And it's like this. If you let me put it to you like this. If one looks at Ephesians, maybe you could just run this for me, Nick. I keep fiddling this thing. Look at it, Ephesians, like this, chapter 2. As for you, he's talking to the believers. As for you, Doug Mack, you were dead in your transgressions and your sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, talking about all of humanity, we were by our very nature objects of wrath. In other words, there is nothing pleasing in ourselves to God. It is like we were just doing our own thing. And all of us are like this. When that phrase, as for you, that's like, that's me. Like, as for me, and as for you, that's who you were. That is where you have come from. And if we go on to the way this plays out. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, that he could show in the coming ages his incomparable riches of his grace. Megan, can you pop up here quickly? I really want to illustrate this because it's such a key point. Here is our faithful volunteer. If you could just lie on the floor, please. And she is paralyzed by her sinfulness. She's alive in the sense that she is a person living and breathing, but she is unable to move. And she is, like, as for Megan, she is dead in her transgressions. Like, she is helpless. She is unable to move. I mean, like, she can be nudged and pushed around and swayed by the things of this world. But in terms of being able to respond to the call and the purpose of God in herself, there is nothing she can do. She is dead, is the language of Scripture. And then Christ comes and he says, but because of the great love for us, God, in his mercy, he picks her up and lifts her. Like, literally, like, she was unable to do that by herself. And by the great power of God. Thank you, Megan. By the power of God is such that he breaks into our death and he supernaturally lifts us, and it goes even further to say he doesn't just stand us there, he seats us in heaven with Christ. It is a transaction of power that we cannot imagine. It is called the salvation. It is salvation. And if there is anyone today, excuse me, who has not settled in their heart that transaction has taken place in your life, I really would invite you here and now, just put up your hand and we will would pray. We'd love to join with you afterwards. We won't make a public moment now, but there is something about acknowledging that I need that moment. I need that transaction to take place in my life. If that is you today, just acknowledge it. We will celebrate in a moment with you, and then in the afterwards, we would pray with you and lead you more sensibly through what that actually looks like. Is anyone today? I'd never like to preach without asking, giving that opportunity to respond. 3, 2, 1, fine. Lovely that we are believers here today. So here we have this this thing. How does this apply to the shuttles? So here we, you know, you guys have had you've got your story, and Tony, you mentioned part of it. How, you know, you know where you've come from. Like, you've got an incredible story of your own salvation, but more than that, the whole work of God and the community of God building into your lives, almost 30 years of that taking place. I think of your faithful years here in Crossways as a family. I think of your work in Hilton College and Department of Public Works, if there ever was a place that needed some help. kids at school and St. Anne's and Grace College, and obviously Hilton College needs some more help because now we've got Joel still there and going on at university. You know, these are a family who have had, you know, you've come from somewhere and are still going somewhere into the future. In terms of where God is taking you, that plan and that purpose of God leading you guys into an even more. In other words, that hand of God, that work of God is to, in my mind, still very much an action. But the same definitely applies to all of us as believers. For each one of us, we have our story of, you know, as for us, what did our life look like when we were not in Christ? Living under satanic rule, following Satan. You put it bluntly like that, it sounds harsh, but that is how it was, and each of us has our story, and our lives reflect that incredible transition into one of life and purpose and destiny. And it comes out like this. Thanks, Nick, if you can just pop up the next picture. The last part of that incredible Ephesians 2 scripture, it goes like this: for it is by grace we have been saved through faith, and this is not because of ourselves. It is a gift from God. It is not by works, so that no one can boast. And it puts it like, I love this phrase, it's like, to me this is such a key thing: for we are God's workmanship. Shuttleworths, you are God's workmanship. Each one of you believers, you are God's workmanship. It's a beautiful word. It's not a mass production word. It's an artist at play's word, created in Christ Jesus, not just without purpose, but that you would do good works which God has prepared in advance for you to do. So each one of us here today, focusing on the shuttles, for it is a moment in time for them, but for each one of us, is this recognition that in that salvation is plan and purpose, because God has made you the way you are, and He's set in place a series of things for you to do in your life, good works that He has planned in advance for you to do. And what a beautiful picture it is for us, that just like Jesus was able to say to those Pharisees, I know who I am. My identity is rooted in where I've come from and where I'm going, and therefore I will do the things that God has told me to do. For each one of us, there is that story. We know where we have come from. We know what we have been saved from. And we know something of the plan and the purpose of where God is taking us, the promises of God. And on that basis, we are confident to go into our lives and say, I will do the things that God has called me to do, if it be to pray for the sick or to be kind and compassionate, to withhold anger, to do all the things of the extension of the kingdom. It is a work of confidence, being confident in who we are in God. And just to land my thought, thanks, Nick. When Jesus gave His commission in Matthew 28 to the disciples, He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And then he goes, therefore you. You. And why does he say, therefore you? Go and make disciples of all nations. It's because we carry in us the Spirit of God. The Spirit of Christ is in us. It is that authority that Christ earned through his radical obedience to go to the cross and to fulfill everything that he had been asked of God to do. That authority he places in us when we are filled with the Spirit of Christ. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. So I'd love for the Shuttles family to gather themselves. We want to pray over them today. I'm going to lead us in prayer, but the elders will come and join us. For you guys are a Spirit-filled family. No question about it. You carry the authority of Christ, and you will bring the kingdom wherever you go. And what I'd felt to do, if the rest of the church can stand also, and in your hearts, as much as I will be leading us in prayer, struck a note. I've actually chosen to read a prayer that was written. It captures so eloquently everything we want to say. It was what Paul wrote a little bit later in the book of Ephesians. And we would want to declare it over the family as they move into their new season. So Lord Jesus Christ, we ask that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give the Shuttleworths the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that they may know him better. We pray also that the eyes of their heart may be enlightened and opened in order that they may know the hope to which he has called them, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for them who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all earthly rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can ever be given, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. And that God placed all things under his feet and appointed Jesus to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. And we pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen the Shuttleworths with power through his Spirit in their inner being, so that Christ may live in their hearts through faith. And we pray that they, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all of us, the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that they may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.